most of the stuff, you know, the Title 26 Code of Federal Regulations, most of that is really interpretive regulations. It is what the Secretary of the Treasury, the Commissioner of Internal Revenue think, you know, this is what, it's the position they're going to take as to the meaning of that law. And they have, you know, it's kind of like, I don't think it can be worthwhile to dig into it now. Maybe we can do it later. But, you know, when, you know, the law said, you know, there's hereby imposed this tax on the gains, profits, and income derived from wages, salaries, and compensation for personal services. What in the world does that mean? Well, you know, you get back into these regulations on that point, and all of this you can download off my website. Go back into those regulations, and you can see how, you know, the statute would say that the tax is imposed upon these things. Well, how did the commissioner, you know, kind of add flesh to this bony statutory structure so that the agents in the field would know what is meant by gains, profits, and income derived from wages, salaries, and compensation for personal services? You know, those, it's in the regulations. And you can see, and there's been a pattern to, you know, for things like that, there's a pattern over time. You know, you can go back and see that virtually every 2 years between 1918 all the way up through 1939, virtually every 2 years, Congress is coming out along with a, you know, new version of the income tax laws. They get a little bit better, get a little bit more refined, you know, with each new law that gets enacted. And so do the regulations. You can see, but when you download the regulations off my website, you can see, the volume increases. So there's a difference between, in reference to tax laws, you know, you if you get into this point and, you know, trying to, you know, we have it on the screen, the legislative regulations and interpretive regulations. You know, I think I've explained those. The legislative regulations are, or the, that law specifically says, you know, this secretary shall adopt regulations to implement this law. That's a legislative regulation. An interpretive regulation, which is most of the regulations in Title 26, they are interpretations. But then the procedural regulations, you know, 26 CFR Part 601, you know, the Administrative Procedures Act came out and said, oh, you agencies have got to set up an administrative procedure. So somebody that's got a controversy with the agency, there's this procedure, you know, kind of like a court system, so to speak. You know, the agency's got to come along and, you know, you can file a complaint here. And once you file a complaint here, you know, this happens next. And we got the administrative law judge and you can file motions to dismiss. And, you know, all of that's procedural stuff. And there's a whole lot of procedural stuff. Now, if you're in tax court, you're dealing with, in essence, the culmination of procedural regulations. But you're going to be carrying out a battle with the IRS using procedural regulations, you know, when they come along and start knocking on the door. And so those are different types of regulations, you know, that deal with how the agency set up a procedure for resolving disputes with the agency. So I now notice that we've been going on for about an hour. Sean made the observation that we ought to discuss regulations tonight. And I hope that what I've had to say about giving you a quick overview about digging into the history of this and showing how it's developed gives you a better understanding, you know, having access, you know, there isn't anything more educational, I think, than knowing the big broad parameters of something. You know, like for the income tax, you know, knowing something about the history behind it. You know, here's the 1916 Act, the 1918 Act, the 1921 Act, and here are the regulations that go along with all that. Knowing that, you know, it puts you heads and shoulders. You know, I've been in court and I'll ask, you know, some special agent on the team, you know, oh, he's an authority. Boy, I've been doing this stuff for 20 years, and boy, I didn't calculate tax liability, boy, you know, and I've read all the IRS publications. Oh, well, tell me what regulations 94 are. And they're lost. This history is unknown to them. This history is unknown to most of your tax professionals. And, you know, my bottom line position is this, if you don't know that history, you can't reach the right conclusions about what it means. And so that's the reason why I've got it posted on my website, all the old tax acts, all the old regulations. Maybe we can get around to, what in the world, the gains, profits, and income derived from salaries, wages, and compensation for personal services. Well, there, just looking at the law itself, there's a difference between salaries and wages and income. And, the people that are making that argument in the past, they didn't point that out. And then they didn't go over to the regulations and see what there's been a constant meaning for, what wages are, what salaries are. What is the profit? What's taxed for the income tax? Gains, profits, and income derived from wages and salaries. What is the profit from a wage?
Well, Larry, as you say, that's found in the history, and it's found in the regs. And, I want to add something, Larry. This is a primer, actually, for our next show, is that when you get into the battle with the IRS, you can talk about the Internal Revenue Code for a while, but you better be ready to talk about the regulations, because the court's going to be willing to talk about them. And to the limited extent that the IRS can talk about them, they will too. That's where you're going to find a lot of the true meaning of the Internal Revenue Code and the income tax law. Larry's only touched on this, folks. I mean, he's just brushed the surface of it. We have yet to talk about delegation of authority, which Larry definitely has to cover in our next one. And we have to talk about the Internal Revenue Manual and how this works and what force that has, if any, when it comes to enforcement of the Internal Revenue Laws. Larry's said it several times here. We've got the Internal Revenue Code, general laws that always, almost always rely upon regulations. And until you understand the regulations and until you research them, you're not going to have an understanding of the Internal Revenue Code, because the regulations lays it out. I know it can be a lot of reading, but I'll tell you what, it's the source of what's going on here. Just ask the court. So pick up any court case that deals with the Internal Revenue Service. I guarantee you they're going to be talking about regulations. So this is far from being over. We're just touching the surface of it tonight.
Claire had a question that she chatted. How do we convince the IRS, the DOJ, and the courts and the juries that the regulations do not apply to us?
Well, that deals with the question of who's subject to it. And, Claire, hey, Joe, can we back out of this and go over to my website?
Sure. Yeah, well, you're doing that. Claire, the regulations will explain why they don't apply to you. The regulations are self-explanatory.
Joe, go over to my tax page. Okay, now back out of this, go back to the taxation page. Now go down here to employment taxes. And what I'm talking this is great. This is something that's old. But back in the early part of the 20th century, when radio was going big, you had people in Chicago, some wealthy guy, he would buy this high-powered radio, and at night he could talk all across the world. Those beginning days, radios were powerful. But then again, you had so many of these people just broadcasting all over the world, you had signals conflicting with each other. And so they had, that's the reason why internationally, the control over telecommunications at the federal level comes about through treaties. But I digress. This is dealing with, a tax on the ship-to-shore transmissions. And what's so important about these regulations, that I think on this page, you can download these very regulations that I'm talking about, Regulation 57. But, here Congress comes along and passes his act to provide revenue and other work relating to a tax on electronic transmissions, radio transmissions. And you can search through the regulations, and you know, tax regulations are construed just like tax acts. They got to be expressed. And the only thing I found that dealt with how the tax operated, this beginning, oh, yeah, is this regulation? Okay, great. So it is posted. You can find it on my website. But you know, back out of that, Joe. I want to get to, without having to spend time going through here to find it. You know, I had it quoted. Okay, yeah. Now, when you pull up those regulations that we were just looking at, and you get go down to Article 3, and you know, this was the only thing in that set of regulations that told you how the blooming tax operated. And you know, it looks like to me the tax had a direct connection to a transmission across the boundaries of the United States. And that was the only, boom, it's right there in front of you. Now, the same, you know, you take this situation and, whoa, here you have some regulations, and this is starting talking about, you know, the tax on, you know, telegraphs, and boy, the only example of how this tax operates is when it crosses the border. Isn't that odd? Well, listen, this whole issue of employment taxes, you're not going to understand it until you get back into the old stuff. Now, you know, on this page, and I'm not going to say anything more than this. You will find, if you look at how there was wage withholding under the Revenue Act of 1918. But when you go through the act and look at the sections that deal with withholding, it was only limited to non-resident aliens and foreign corporations. And then when you get into the regulations only dealt with non-resident aliens and foreign corporations. And that's the way it existed. Wage withholding, yeah, goes all the way back. You know, you had it 1960, 1970. Those are the origins. It went all the way up to 1939, and it only applied to non-resident aliens and foreign corporations. And then lo and behold, today, if you just look at Subtitle A, of the income tax. That's the complete income tax. Starts off at section one, goes up to section what, 1460 or something like that. I forgot the last section of Subtitle. Hey,
so Larry, I would point out that those revenue acts were passed after the enactment of the 16th Amendment. Nothing's changed.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But you know, the regulations, and I'll tell you on this page, you know, you got the links to the regulations. And then I will tell you which parts of the regulations dealt with. I've already been through it. I tell you, like in Regulation 69, the only sections that deal with withholding in that set of regulations are Articles 361 to 376 and 601. Now, in the Revenue Act of 1928, you got Regulation 74 that deal with that. 144 to 145, the Revenue Act of 1928. Only deals with non-resident aliens and foreign corporations. Pull up the regulation 74. Everything you want to know about withholding is found in Articles 761 through 781. 20 articles, 20 sections. And you know, I just simply ask, and I've had this has been up here for years, decades, on my website, trying to get people to look at, you know, look at the history of this stuff. And, you know, I need people to study this and reach the conclusion. Yeah, isn't it odd? Withholding all the way up to the 39 code by non-resident aliens and foreign corporations, and exactly for withholding under Subtitle A, it's only non-resident aliens and foreign corporations. Section 1461, Section 1462, 1463, 1461. It's only non-resident aliens and foreign corporations. Isn't that a bit odd? And, you know, and it's not difficult for people to understand this. And once you understand this, then, boy, there needs to be some hairy questions asked. And, you know, but, you know, if people could understand this, then you have a foundation for us progressing somewhere on employment taxes. But, you know, I don't say I don't tell you the ultimate conclusion, because I've done that in the past, and it's – I have regretted it.
Well, Larry, you know what? I would say that it's fair that the regulations of the income tax works very specifically. All we have to do is read it and listen to it.
Yeah.
And it's work, folks. It can be a lot of work, but I'll tell you what, if you're going to explain to the IRS so they understand it, you have to be more familiar with their regulations than they are. And I'll give you a hint, that's not hard to do because they're not familiar with their regs except to the extent they want something specific out of them. And then they ignore what they don't like.
There's this mathematician. I can see him on this. He's got both hands, right? He's got his face balanced on his hands.
Okay, I got to unmute. Okay, Peter, you can let him have it.
What do you want, Larry?
You have been into this stuff for years, and I guarantee you, if you dug into this, hey, you look where you work.
No, that's why Pete's hands are like this, because he has dug in.
I would like for you to report back and say, hey, it's not difficult to understand.
Well, let me do that. I've read some of it, but I haven't read as much as I should have. So,
well, I'll just pick, Revenue Act of 1926. See that the only sections that deal with withholding under the Revenue Act of 1926 are sections 221 and 237. And then you can download the regulations and see, that the only ones that deal with withholding are the ones I've got noted here. And, hey, I look good. I've got them all listed. You don't have to go through everything, but I've got them all listed.
So, Larry, we've talked about this as a strategy before, and, how to put it in effect remains to be determined. But if you take someone through the regulations, the history, and show that they only apply to, non-resident aliens and foreign corporations, and then you come forward in history and you ask the IRS agent or so on, when did the law change? When did the law change to provide, regulations that cover all this?
They won't know that, Peter. We're going to have to educate them.
Right. But I mean, if you start and you can convince them or anybody that's reading that if you look at the history shows that it only applied to these small groups of people. And so then if they want to claim that it now applies to a more expanded scope of people, they have to show us where in the law that change occurred.
That is true. But, notice the last sentence on this page, more later after students learn the above. There's a whole lot of meaning. And then, you have the Victor Tax Act and the Current Tax Payment Act. That's the foundation for withholding that we got today.
And you then know what? I want to address what Peter said there for a minute. Peter, they don't have to explain, excuse my French, but they don't have to explain the damn thing to us. They made that clear. I'd rather posit it like this. I pose the question to them, then I give them the answer. They won't explain. And if they do, you're not going to like the explanation because they have vested interest in not explaining what they know, if they even know it. It's not them telling us. We have to tell them.
Well, right. I was speaking of people not just in the IRS, Sean, because, they're not going to change their position until there's sufficient public outcry against what they're saying. Right?
Right.
So we have to educate enough people. This is what Larry's been hammering for years to understand this. And so that it's not possible for them to just say, well, it applies to everybody and say, no, it doesn't. Here's the history. Here's the current law. We show the logical succession of the regulations from the history that Larry's laid out up to the present time. And in no place does the law change to suddenly have this expansive scope covering all these people that they claim owe the federal income tax.
Yeah. And one of the things that we face, Peter, which Larry has always told us for decades, is that we've got a huge amount of bad case law to overcome because people didn't understand what they were presenting to the court, though the court may have, and they didn't present a good, valid argument that the court could say, hey, listen, this isn't ridiculous. We're going to have to look at it. And the court was able to generate a lot of bad case law. And I don't believe for 1 minute the courts didn't know what they were doing. So yeah, that's, we have a,
Sean, I'll say this.
Yeah.
I don't think the, you know, and I've been down this road before. When I got out of tax class in law school, I said, I'll never do this. You know, hell will freeze over before I do anything about taxes. But look where I am. And that's the same. That's the same thing with every other lawyer. But then they end up. Some of these people work at the Treasury Department Tax Division, DOJ, and I've talked to those DOJ lawyers, and they were just like me. If they had a class, it was a very rudimentary class. And the only thing that they've learned since they're now enforcing the law and locking people up, they know Section 1, Section 61, 62, 63, 6001, 6011, 6012. Hey, man, it's crystal clear. It's so blooming simple. And that's the way they enforce it. They don't, the IRS agents and even the lawyers that are into this stuff, they just know very basic stuff. In fact, the whole world knows just basic stuff about the income tax.
But Larry, didn't we also see something today in the news about how the DOJ investigates itself or the FBI when Horowitz came out and said there's no political bias whatsoever in the spying going on against Trump?
Yeah,
impressed? I was impressed as hell. Oh yeah, that impressed me. Yeah.
No, they're never gonna. The government's never gonna investigate itself in some way other than the result they want.
Well, that's true, Peter, and that's the reason why. You know, Peter, what we've done for years and years and years in the tax movement is we've created organizations, and this is what people want. You know, they want to, they want to have a feel good position. You know, but gee, I don't want to have to spend time digging into all this stuff. But you know, I see that there are some problems, and I got some basic beliefs. And you know what most of the people that are interested in this issue, what they really wanted is they just want to become a part of some group. And the only thing that they wanted to, they were willing to support was, you know, having a group. Well, you know, I've got some basic understandings of this stuff. So if I get into trouble, I want to be able to turn to somebody, you know, and there's been no strategy beyond that or different from that. And, you know, that's not winning the battle, you know, what we've done in the past. And so one of the things that's going to win the battle is, you know, basic understanding, you know, there's some, you know, tax imposed and employment taxes, you know, they're not, if you sit down and especially since it's all laid out and it's sitting there in front of you, you know, you don't have to go to a law library. Everything you need to know, everything you need is you can get off my website, but you can learn just some of the most fundamental stuff that people inside the IRS don't even know anything about. You know, and I'd like to talk about this. Maybe we got one more week before we get into the holiday season. You know, 2 weeks from today is Christmas Day. 3 weeks from today is New Year's. So we're not going to be having programs on that date. But then right after that, you know, we're getting ready into the start of the new year. And boy, the more organized media is going to say, returns, returns, returns. Well, there are some, to avoid the problems we've had in the past, I'm trying to teach people some basics. And basics that are, now, I don't think it's very difficult to understand. And it's known by very few people.
And that's the problem.
And it's known by none inside the IRS. All they ever do is they learn manuals.
There's two questions on the board I want to touch on quickly, and Larry, you can address them too.
Yeah,
of course. We've got one from Major. Where does backup withholding come into in all of this? The only time I see backup withholding is when someone wants some agency or some, not even an agency, but some private party wants a declaration from you that you're a citizen of the United States, your Social Security number. You give it to them, you don't have backup withholding. You want to be a citizen of the United States, by the way. That is.
Oh, yeah.
And what's needed to develop a case that allows this to be presented and declared in open court? You know what? Court's not our solution. Court's part of the solution, but it's not entirely the solution. Here, there's a lot of solutions here. There's a lot of things that happened to solve this. Number one, remember prohibition? Remember how an amendment was passed to say, oh, geez, by the way, nobody can drink alcohol in the country anymore. You know why that didn't work? Because the people in this country that are the government said, we're not listening, you better change it. What happened? They passed another amendment, they changed it. When the people develop an understanding of what's going on with the income tax and they see the misapplication of it and the injustice of it, and that the intent of what was designed from the beginning is not being carried out, you'll hear a cry as such you've never heard before. This will stop then. The question is this: how do we get that kind of involvement? The only way I know is we educate the people on here's what the law is, and you read it. You figure it's not hard to figure it out. You read it. Don't take my word for it. And then it's time to make your voice heard. We are, of course, Lincoln said, government of, by, and for the people. So when we talk about the government, we're not talking about some crazy thing we don't understand. We are the government. We have government officials that are running wild. We have to take responsibility for them. I know that's tough to swallow for a lot of people, but this is as much of our fault as we let the agencies do this and we remain silent. It's a big job. I know. We all know that.
Hey, Sean, I'd like to make a comment about that. I would really love if the IRS agencies enforced the tax laws as the Commissioner of Internal Revenue has construed them. His regulations are spot on. The problem is the people that work for the commissioner don't know what he said.
Yeah.
Well, hey, we're approaching an hour and a half, Joe.
Yeah, okay. Well, like to thank everybody. There's been little chats. I tried to send a few links there. So
are we going to do a show next week? Same time, same place?
My plan, man.
Sounds good to me. Like Sean was saying, we can drill down a little more into the delegated authority, you know, taking it from the Secretary of Treasury, showing everybody how it's, as you said, Secretary of Treasury doesn't.
Yeah. Right, and I'd like to dig into the Internal Revenue Manual, because that works in here too, even though, as you'll find out next week, the Internal Revenue Manual is not law, but I'll tell you what, their agents sure think it is. But that, we'll leave that open for a primer for next week.
Absolutely. All right, everybody. Well, thanks for joining us, and we will be back next week. Remember to go to agentfortruth.com, click on the radio show tab, and watch those videos, because it really helps us to post more videos. I have updated some video links in the last couple weeks. So watch those videos. Remember that Sean's website is seanoconnor.org. seanoconnor.org, or Free Enterprise Society Services.org. Larry, we've talked about many times, but we'll just show you, since I believe I've got it here. You can go to start page or DuckDuckGo. You type in BCraft Briefs. It'll bring up BCraft Briefs Highway Information Services. You click on that. Takes you right to Larry's website. Mine is Agent for Truth, and watch those videos, do your homework, and we'll see you next Wednesday. Thanks, everybody.
Good night.